It appears to be 9 o'clock, so I'd like to call to order the April 11th meeting of the appropriate pool. Mr. Cavunis, good morning to you as well.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Any additions or reorders to the agenda?
Staff does not have any additions or any need to reorder the agenda.
Okay, thank you. I did receive one request to add an item to our agenda, and it would be a second round of pool member comments inserted actually right before consent calendar. So we'll still have pool member comments at the end like we usually do. And if it's okie dokie with the rest of the pool members, let's insert another round of pool member comments right before consent.
Okie dokie.
Okay, okie dokie. And with that, let's go into pool member comments. I believe Mr. Garabai would like to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of things I'd like to say. First of all, I'm sure a lot of people have heard me talk about retirement many years, 5, 10 years. Well, I've come to that point in my life where it's time to cut loose and move on. I'll be retiring from the city of Pomona within the next several weeks, and it's going to culminate 36 years of municipal service. A couple of things I would like to say in light of that. I'm very proud and privileged, I think, to have represented City of Pomona in the capacity I have over the 17 years I've been here with the Basin. I also consider myself very fortunate to have engaged and participated in a lot of the major issues that have taken place in the past 17 years. Dryer Yield, Peace 2, and Safe Yield negotiations. I wrote that song. I just like to say in closing, I guess, for me, Chino Basin meetings, negotiations, what have you, I've always admired and respected a lot of the individuals in this room. I consider myself very fortunate to have been able to engage and interact with you, and I just want to wish you good luck in the future. And that's all I wanted to say, Mr. Chairman.
I envy you. Did you get to leave and move on? I envy you. Congratulations on your many years of public service to Pomona and your involvement here at the Chino Basin to make it a better place. Please invite me over when you pursue your cooking hobbies. I'd like to sample your cuisine,
thank
sir.
You. I have taken my first class already, actually. Thank you very much. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. I wanted to leave you to your business and just bring your emotion out.
Congratulations.
Are there any other pool member comments at this time?
I just want to say, Raul, we'll miss you. And your questions.
He's leaving. Raul, come back.
He's running out the door.
He's gone.
Yet enough.
All right. Let's go next to consent calendar.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If I may.
Yes.
I'd like to ask Mr. Paulson, in Raul's absence.
Yeah, I just saw him running through the window.
The emotions, yeah.
It's very understandable. I'd like to ask you to extend on behalf of all Watermaster staff and consultants our gratitude to Raul for all the years we worked with him. He's been a real gentleman. He's been courteous. He's been very professional. He's been responsive. He's been an absolute joy to work with. So please let him know how much we appreciate him.
I will absolutely do that. I was going to take the time up, same as you, to say a few words, but he also warned me that he may or may not be able to take that, and that's kind of why he asked to go first today, because he just he's really had a hard time, as he's mentioned, right? You know, 3 to 5 years he's been telling me, I'm ready to retire, and I think Chris almost had to arm wrestle his resignation out of his hand the other day. I will definitely let him know that. He also will be back for the board meeting. He wants to say goodbye to the board as well here. So he's still got one more round of emotions that he'll go through. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Lock the door next time for the board meeting.
Okay. Next item, consent calendar. Would any member like to pull an item for discussion, or do I otherwise have a motion?
So move.
Okay, motion by San Antonio
Water.
Second by Upland.
Second by Upland. Thank you very much. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. No business items this month, so let's go into legal counsel report. Mr. Harima.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the pool committee. I've got three things right up front that are all interrelated, so I'll kind of take them all together, and then if you have questions, you can maybe we can have them after that. They all relate to the March 15th hearing. So since the last time that this group was together in this setting, the court held its hearing on March 15th on a number of pending motions. The first and I guess the most easily disposed of was Watermaster's motion that the court receive and file the 41st annual report, and the court did do that. The court also granted the non-ag pools motion to amend its pooling plan. And then I think the largest part of the hearing was the court's consideration of the Watermaster motion and the six parties to the appeal, their motion relating to the what we've called the 2018 proposed changes. Those are changes to the judgment, the reoperation schedule, and the Peace and Peace 2 agreements. And the court granted Watermaster's motion as presented, and granted in part and denied in part the six appeal parties' motion. Watermaster gave notice of all those orders that went out on March 18th, the following Monday. That went out through Watermaster's normal notice process via email. Those who still get snail mail copies should have gotten those, and it's posted to Watermaster's website, and I think there's probably a copy in the back of the room as well. Following that hearing, on March 28th, the appellants, the City of Pomona, Monta Vista Water District, and Cucamonga Valley Water District, filed a request with the Court of Appeal to request dismissal of their appeal. And on April 2nd, the Court of Appeal granted the motion and issued what's called a remitter. And what the remitter does is it transfers jurisdiction regarding the appeal issues from the Court of Appeal back to the back to Judge Reichert, back to the Superior Court. So following the issuance of the remitter, there are no more appeal proceedings pending, and sort of as if we're back where we were immediately after the April 28, 2017 order. At this point, that order is in full effect, as are all the orders that were issued on March 15th. Following the dismissal of the appeal, the appellants also filed a request with the Superior Court asking that a hearing that was scheduled for June 21st, which pertained to the appellant's motion to confirm stay pending appeal, they filed a request that be taken off calendar. I've been told this morning that there's been a little hiccup with the formatting of that, and so the court's asked for it to be refiled. But we do know that the three appellants are asking and in the process of getting that June 21st hearing taken off calendar. As a result of the resolution of the, well, I'll pause for any questions there. Okay. As a result of the resolution of the Safefield appeal, we are going to, you may recall a few years ago we started a process to update the rules and regulations. There had been a number of court orders and agreements among the parties that required or would implicate some changes in the rules and regulations, and we had been tracking those, but we hadn't done a wholesale update to basically restate the rules and regulations to incorporate all of those changes. We started that process a couple years ago, and we basically went through everything but those issues that would be affected by the safe yield reset. And I think we came to a consensus on all of the changes at that time, and then we sort of put the document on the shelf pending the resolution of the safe yield reset and the appeal. Now that the appeal has been resolved, the time is right to take that off the shelf and go back and make any necessary changes or updates that come out of those two orders, the April 2017 and the March 2019 orders. And so we intend to initiate that process Anna, could you pull up the proposed schedule? So this is the schedule that we intend to follow to do that that update, and I would say it's a pretty narrow set of changes that would come out of those couple orders and the amendments to the peace and peace two agreement. We'd intend to issue to all the parties no later than May 21st a red line that shows the proposed changes. The base for that document would be the rules and regulations as we left them back in, I can't recall exactly when we put it on the shelf, but as we left them a couple years ago, that would be the baseline that we would start with, and the red line would show any additional proposed changes relating to the safe yield reset. We would have a first workshop on June 4th to review that red line with the parties. We'd ask for any comments by June 6th. So I know that's only a couple days after the workshop, but it will have been more than a couple weeks after the document has been circulated. We would have another workshop to review any additional changes coming out of those comments or out of the first workshop on June 11th. And then we would take the document with those proposed changes to the pool committees in June for their advice and any recommendation to the advisory committee, which would meet the next week. The requirement for amendment of the rules and regulations is that the advisory committee agree to that, to those amendments. And so we would take it to the advisory committee for its approval on June 20th, and then to the board on June 27th for adoption.
Thank you for that report. Any questions of Mr. Harima?
And then one final item that should have made the agenda but didn't. We didn't file on April 3rd a request with the court to receive and file the most recent OBMP semiannual status report. That's 2018-2. That was approved through the Water Master process last month, and the board directed its filing. And there's a hearing on calendar for the court's consideration of that motion on June 7th at 1:30 p.m., given that that was unopposed through the process, and we don't foresee any opposition, and there's nothing else on calendar for that day. The judge has indicated that he's happy to have everyone appear by phone, anyone who needs to appear. And so that's our plan at this point, will be just a telephone appearance and probably a very short hearing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go into the engineer's report.
Good morning, everyone. Three quick items and then a short presentation. The first item to report to you is on the maximum benefit annual report. This is a annual requirement of the regional board. The regional board granted us in the Chino Basin elevated TDS and nitrate objectives in the Chino North Management Zone, which allows us to implement our recycled water reuse and recharge programs. But in exchange for that, they asked for a number of commitments, 9 commitments. Probably the one you're most familiar with is the achievement and maintenance of hydraulic control. So every year, Watermaster and IUA produce an annual report to describe progress towards meeting all 9 of those commitments. And so April 15th is our deadline every year, and so we will be submitting that report on April 15th to the regional board to stay in compliance with the maximum benefit commitments. And Anna, can you bring up the Watermaster's website, and we'll show you where we publish these annual reports if you're interested in seeing them. But you go to the homepage, and under reports, go to engineering, and these are where all the engineering reports are, and there's a section on the maximum benefit annual reports, and so you'll see the 2018 report there on April 15th. We'll upload it and submit it to the regional board. The second item is another annual report that we're working on, and I'm giving you a heads up. It's the Prado Basin Habitat Sustainability Program annual report for water year 2018. On April 30th, so at the end of this month, we'll be publishing a draft report. and you'll all have a chance to review it. On May 14th, we'll be having a meeting of the Prado Basin Habitat Sustainability Committee here at Watermaster to review and discuss the annual report, and we'll be accepting comments after that meeting and then be publishing a final report on June 6th.
What was the date of that again, Andy?
The meeting will be May 14th. Yeah, and Anna, can you bring up the website again? And on the homepage, there's schedules, and then for the Prado Basin Habitat Sustainability Committee meeting, you can find all the milestones and the schedules for the annual reporting there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Third is the Pomona extensometer. I've been giving you monthly updates on that. It's still under construction. The wells have been installed, and well development is complete on three of the four wells. The fourth well, the contractor is having a difficulty developing the fourth well and is still working on it. So that's all I really have to report to you on that. And the last is the State of the Basin report. The rules and regulations that Brad was referring to earlier, and by a 2001 court order, the Watermaster is required to every 2 years publish a report. We call it the State of the Basin report, which describes a number of physical characteristics of the basin. And the purpose of the report is to tell you currently what the state of the basin is, but then also compare back to the year 2000, which was the beginning of the implementation of the Optimum Basin Management Program, to see how the basin has responded to the OBMP. So instead of giving you a long presentation, once we publish that report at the end of this fiscal year, we're going to have short presentations on sections of that report. And first off is going to be production and recharge, then water quality, and lastly, we'll be discussing water level changes and storage changes in the basin. So I have a short presentation on a number of the graphics that you're going to see in the State of the Basin report. And Anna, can you bring that up for me, please? So production and recharge, obviously some of the most important things that Watermaster monitors and reports on. You'll see a map that shows you all the active wells in as of 2018 in the Chino Basin. And on this map here, they're color-coded. Green are the private agricultural, mostly agricultural wells of Pool 1. And in red are the overlying non-agricultural wells, and then the blue wells are the appropriate pool wells. And then, of course, the desalter wells in white squares at the southern end of the basin. You'll see maps that show how production has changed in the basin over time. So this is a current map of 2017-18, and the symbology here shows you the volume of water that is produced at each well for that fiscal year 2017-18. And then, like I said, we'll be showing maps comparing what it was like in the basin at the beginning of OBMP implementation. So you can see here this is a similar map for 1999-2000. You can toggle back and forth between the two periods, and you can see how things have changed. So obviously some of the biggest changes are the reduction in the agricultural production that has been replaced by the CDA production, and other production patterns that I believe you can see between these two maps is generally a reduced production in management zone one as well as across the entire basin. So the beginning of the OBMP and then today. I'm having technical difficulties here. We can look at production in time series. here too, where we're looking back into the year 1978 to the current time period here, and this is annual fiscal year production, and the bar chart is color-coded by the pool. So the agricultural production has reduced over time significantly. The appropriative pool production in blue has increased. In red is pool two, and in green is the desalter production that began in 2000 and ramped up. This cross-hatched area right here was appropriative pool production associated with a take in the drier yield program. So these are the patterns, the general reduction in agricultural pool production, and I think you can see a general decline in production over this time period as well. The desalter wells, you see a map here, and there will be a chart in there that shows you how desalter production has progressed over time. Chino 1 desalter production is shown here, where you can see the expansion in 2006, and it's held relatively constant. And then the ramping up of Chino 2 production. There are two new wells that have begun producing, so you see a slight uptick, but in 2019 it'll increase even further. There's one additional well that will be constructed probably over the next year or two, and the plan is that this production will ultimately reach 40,000 acre feet per year, which is also a requirement in the basin plan. So moving on to recharge, there will be a map in here that will show you all the wet water recharge and the in-lieu recharge facilities in the basin. The wet water recharge facilities are color-coded by, it's either just a stormwater-only facility, stormwater and imported water, or stormwater, imported water, and recycled water facilities that are mainly located in the northern part of the basin. And then the main in-lieu recharge facilities are the Rialto pipeline and the various treatment plants that treat that water, where that water can be served in lieu of groundwater production as another method to recharge the basin. And also shown on this map are Monte Vista Water District's four ASR wells, which are right now the only injection wells in the basin. The recycled water facilities are shown on here too, the treatment plants and the distribution pipelines that can deliver water for direct use, which is another method as a substitute supply in lieu of groundwater production, and also for wet water recharge. Andy Campbell has come to your meetings before in the past and shown you similar graphics as this, and so you'll see a bar chart going from 2005, when we first began measuring recharge in the basin, to 2018. And this blue bar is representing stormwater recharge, which you can see is variable depending on climate. The green bars represent imported water recharge, which is also variable and dependent on climate. And then in purple is the recycled water recharge, and you can see that ramping up and then staying very constant. This is a good example of the reliability of recycled water. It's there every year. We anticipate about 16,000 acre feet per year of recycled water out into the future for recharge. These next series of slides are going to compare the supplemental water recharge capacity in the basin to what we project out into the future for your needs to replenish the groundwater basin. So the bars here are representing the supplemental water recharge capacity for various points in time out into the future, assuming there's no improvements to the recharge facilities to enhance supplemental water recharge capacity. And so what we're looking at here is about 40,000 acre feet per year of recharge capacity for imported water. We're subtracting out the 16,000 acre feet per year of capacity that's used up by recycled water. So this would be capacity for the imported water. The ASR wells add about 5,500 acre feet per year of additional imported water recharge capacity. And then this is the estimate for in-lieu recharge capacity. So it gets us almost up to 65,000 acre feet per year of supplemental water recharge capacity. Now these lines right here are representative, and I'm going to show you two different lines, but these are representative of what your projected replenishment obligations are relative to the supplemental water recharge capacity. So this first line here represents a scenario where imported water is 90% available. This assumes that Metropolitan implements its 2015 IRP completely, so the water fix is included in this. We also have a more conservative estimate where the IRP is not implemented and imported water is available 20% of the time. So one out of every 5 years you'd have imported water available to satisfy replenishment obligations. And so there appears to be plenty of excess supplemental water recharge capacity to satisfy these replenishment obligations, even with this relatively conservative estimate for the availability of imported water. We were at the ag pool yesterday, and the question was, well, does this mean that we don't need to be considering improvements to enhance our recharge capacity in the basin? And I don't think that's exactly what it means. This is only comparing your supplemental water recharge capacity to your future replenishment obligations. There are other needs for having recharge capacity, including stormwater, enhancing stormwater recharge, or implementing storage and recovery programs. And so I'm going to take you back to this figure right here, where in this past year we recharged almost 35,000 acre feet of imported water as a put in the drier yield program for Metropolitan. So when we come back to this graphic here, you can see that that would be in excess of your replenishment obligations. So there are reasons why you would want to enhance your recharge capacity in the future. But this chart here is only comparing your obligations to for replenishment to your supplemental water recharge capacity. Lastly, a couple maps on the direct use of recycled water. What we're showing again here is the distribution system for recycled water, and each one of these color-coded dots represents a customer for the direct use of recycled water. And so, again, this is an example of an ability to supply a user that may be using groundwater and using recycled water as a substitution.
On that map, Andy, I didn't see where the in-construction lines are. Do you see where they are?
I think these are the existing.
Yeah.
Right here.
In the legend, there's a blue line for in-construction.
Construction. I'm not seeing right off the bat either. Probably need to take a closer look at it.
Yeah.
This has been going on since the implementation of the OBMP, and it's obviously ramped up. These are color-coded bar charts that represent where the direct use of recycled water is occurring by management zone. So we've seen this ramp up, a downtick here, but in 2018 it's it's increased again. So that gives you a preview of what's going to be included in the State of the Basin report for production and recharge. And again, we'll be coming back with presentations on water quality and water levels and storage in the future.
That was a good presentation. Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Malone?
I had a quick question. So the 16,000 acre feet per year of recycled water recharge, is that historically what we've put in, or is that our maximum capacity?
It is historic over the last couple of years. It's historically, and it's what IUA projects will be available for the future.
Thank you.
16,000 acre feet per year.
I was going to kind of hit on that same topic, and Andy, thanks for clarifying the perspective on what this recharge is and is not. I think with everything going on with the Chino Basin, the CBP, and certainly on the recycled water side of things, we're seeing that we appear to be short in wet weather recharge capability as it relates to recycled water. So the part of the solution to that is some combination of increased wet weather recharge capability off channel or some other means, injection or something else, and then perhaps some type of surface storage. But that's important for everybody to keep in mind as we go forward and we talk about recharge capacity, that there's another element to our water resources in the basin that we don't want to continue to lose in the winter months.
Yeah. And obviously that's a quantity and a water quality benefit is capturing that stormwater.
Well, I'm specifically referring to recycled water that we can't apply.
For
direct reuse during the wet season, or we can't recharge because the basins are receiving runoff water. So
yes.
That's an increased volume that is lost out of the basin.
Yeah.
That's the water I'm referring to.
Okay.
Yeah.
That concludes your report.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's move on to CFO report. Mr. Jasmiak.
14. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members of the appropriative pool. My report is on the fiscal year 2019-2020 budget. The budget has been out since March 26, Tuesday at 10 o'clock. That's when we did our budget release. The budget and all of the supporting documents are posted on the Watermaster FTP site. You can find it by clicking on the FTP site and then going to the fiscal year 2019-2020 folder. Within that folder is all of the different documents you'll notice down halfway down there, the fiscal year 2019-20 budget Q&A. We have received some questions and comments, and we've posted the responses back. I think there's about 8 pages of questions and comments. So those, as we receive the questions and get responses to those, we go ahead and post those on the FTP site. The upcoming workshop number 1 is scheduled for Tuesday, April 23rd at 1 o'clock. The next workshop, then the following Tuesday, April 30th at 1 o'clock, is workshop number 2. And then we plan to present the proposed budget on May 9th to the pools, to the advisory committee on May 16th for approval, and then finally May 23rd. To the Watermaster Board for adoption. Again, if anyone has any questions or comments in regards to the budget, please feel free to email those to me, and I will get you responses as quickly as we possibly can.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Next is the General Manager's Report. Mr. Gubinas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 1 is an update. A status report on the OBMP update process, and I'd like to invite Edgar to give the presentation.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everyone. So we conducted the listening session 3 back in March, and I wanted to bring up to you what happened at listening session three and to respond some of the questions that we've been getting regarding the process of getting to the end line of for the update of the OBMP. So let me start with the first. There you go. The first question that we have gotten is regarding the relationship between some of the guidance documents that we use in the Water Master, starting with the judgment, the restated judgment, the OBMP, the OBMP implementation plan, the PIS, the PIS 2, how do they relate to each other? So I'm just bringing to you this graph right here that shows all the documents that we refer to within the Water Master lingo, and to tell you that a more in-depth description of how these documents relate to each other and what's in these documents will be brought to you at a Water Master 101 workshop. The focus of today is going to be the OBMP, and this is a graphic that shows how the OBMP was developed in the 2000s. We have all the different actors in that process in this side of the screen and what role they played into getting the OBMP developed and finally the agreements developed and finally ordered by the court. So it started with a court order that asked the Water Master stakeholders, the Water Master staff, and the consultants to develop an optimum basin management program. After the development of the optimum basin management program, an implementation plan was developed. And for the parties to implement this optimum basin management program, an agreement was developed by the parties called the peace agreement that was later supported by a resolution from the board and finally ordered by the court to the Water Master to proceed according to that agreement. At the same time, to implement the OBMP, the IUA board approved or adopted a programmatic environmental impact review. Now, with the agreement of the piece two, the same process was followed, and supplemental environmental review was adopted, and finally a court order was issued to Water Master to act upon that agreement. How these two documents were developed? It was an interactive process across all the stakeholders, the Water Master, elected officials, where the issues, needs, and wants were identified. Issues defined as the problems or the things that we identified as getting in the way of the place where we wanted to be. Needs identified as requirements and wants as aspirations or desires. We use that information to develop goals, to identify impediments to those goals, and finally, to envision activities and actions to help us get everyone to closer to those goals identified in the original OBMP. All those were reflected in the plan, and later, with a more time certainty, reflected in an implementation plan. The report was divided in four sections with an introduction, the first ever state of the basin that Andy referred to earlier, the goals of the OBMP, and the management plan. So section three that show the goals and the impediments reflected all this process in here, all the back and forth, all the identification of goals and impediments. That was captured in section three. The management plan reflected the actions and activities identified by the parties to solve those impediments. For the OBMP process, the update process and the implementation plan process. We envision a similar process. However, now we have a lot of knowledge from all the implementation activities that we have gained all these years, from monitoring to the development of state of the basin reports, all the information we have gathered through the ground level monitoring committee and the subsiding management plan that came out of it, the safe yield recalculation, the Richard Master Plan and updates, the Prado Basin habitat sustainability. So all this information we have gathered is now an asset that we're using to inform the update that we are embarking on. At the same time, we also have conducted an interactive process to identify issues, needs, and wants, whether persistent or new issues, needs, and wants. Talk about the goals and activities to reach those goals. Impediments, persistent and new. And finally, identifying actions that will inform the update and the implementation plan update. This time around, the report is going to be divided in two. There's going to be a technical memorandum one that will capture this process right here, and a technical memorandum two that will be the actual update of the OBMP and the implementation plan. At the same time, as a parallel process, last year, Watermaster developed the storage framework to identify the reaction of the physical reaction of the basin to storage and recovery of different levels of storage in the basin. So we will conduct a storage management plan process that will be included as part of the technical memorandum too for the update of the OBMP. So this is going to be a parallel process to this process right here. So this was a little bit of what we talked at listening session three. We discussed the process, a survey that we conducted with some of the parties, well, with everyone, and some of the parties responded about concerns or questions about the process that we are using. And we also had a live survey about goals and activities, particularly asking if the 2000 goals are still relevant or should they be modified. And finally, we're going to talk about a little bit about the process for this time around. So these, as a reminder, are the 2000 OBMP goals: to enhance basin water supplies, protect and enhance water quality, to enhance management of the basin, and to equitably finance the OBMP. We asked everyone for their opinions, whether or not it's still relevant, whether it needs to be modified. The feedback we got was that the goals are still relevant. However, there's some wording in the description of each of the goals that may have to be modified to adapt to the new circumstances. What's next is we're going to be developing a listening session three memorandum that will capture everything that happened at that listening session, including the discussion of goals, activities, and actions. Today, we're going to be sending out a survey to get more feedback on those activities and actions from everyone and to identify whether or not those activities are relevant to be included in the update of the OBMP. And we will conduct a listening session four on May 16th after the advisory committee. Save the date. Email will be sent also later today. And at that listening session four, we will finalize everything, goals and activities, issues, needs, and wants. And we will be preparing the actions that will be included in the technical memorandum one. So as for the process for this update, we envision a very similar process for the update in which the parties will need to come up with an agreement to implement the update a resolution from the board will support this agreement, and then finally the court is going to order Water Master to act upon this agreement. At the same time, IUA will adopt a programmatic EIR for this update. In terms of a timeline, this is how it looks like. We have here listening session 3 in March. Next listening session is going to be in May. We have the storage management plan, as I mentioned, as a parallel effort to the rest of the OBMP update. And our end goal is to finish everything by February 2020. So with that, I will answer questions if there's any.
Do you plan on having the workshop or discussion with everybody on the storage management plan?
Yes, the process that we envision is similar to what we've been doing. So we're going to have some workshops, and we're going to be sending documents for review, getting feedback, and then finalizing documents along the way. So it's going to be a very similar process. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Edgar. Mr. Chairman, item number 2 on my report is titled Prior Assessment Package Revisions. As the pool is aware, now that we have a settlement agreement approved, we have the green light to go ahead and revise assessment packages, starting with the assessment package from year 14-15, which would have covered production 13-14. We have prepared a draft of that revised assessment package. We tapped some of you for an early review that helped us comb through issues to make the review process with the entire, with all three pools, smoother. And we got great feedback from the parties that helped us out. And we're ready to have a workshop where everyone's coming in and seeing the revised assessment package. We look forward to explaining how the package was modified, answering any questions that any of the parties may have. So we're ready to roll, actually. We wanted to be responsive, so as soon as the appeal was dismissed, we wanted to be ready to roll. And so within the same month, we're starting with the first workshop. That hasn't come out yet. You haven't seen the invite from us, but it will be scheduled for the same day as budget workshop number 2, where that's April 30. We combined the two to try to make best use of your time. And so being respectful of the fact that coming here involves travel time for many of you, so we wanted to minimize that as much as possible. So April 30 at 10 a.m., we'll have the presentation on the revised 2014-15 assessment package. For those that stay for Joe's 1 p.m. budget workshop number 2, we'll be happy to provide lunch. So a heads up, if you're coming to the workshop, would be greatly appreciated. You'll see that in the email invite that's coming. Be happy to answer any questions on that.
Thank you.
One more thought on the prior assessment package revisions. There will be, as we adjust each year, some parties are going to be owed money or water. Some parties will owe money or water. Our intention, unless the pools believe otherwise, our intention is to leave the true-up to the very end of the process. So we expect that we'll be able to stay with a pace of revising one assessment package per month. We think that the first one is going to be the most complicated. Once everyone's okay with a new format, the other ones should be a little more easy to get through. And what we plan to do is take each revised assessment package through the pools for recommendation to the advisory committee to adopt. And then wait until all five have gone through the pools and then take all five at once to the advisory committee and the board. If we stay on that schedule, we think we'll be done in September. And so September pools will be the review of the last revised assessment package, and then September advisory and board would be the adoption of all the changes of all the prior packages. So that's the contemplated process. Next, I'd like to put a plug in for the upcoming water quality colloquium, May 2nd. We have set the day aside. We plan to have four sessions altogether with a few speakers in each session. We plan to touch on topics that are relevant to parties in the Chino Basin as far as water quality. Things like perchlorate, 1-2-3 TCP, chromium 6, those are things that you're already dealing with. There's the latest monster coming at you is the PFOA, PFOS, and so we plan to have some presentations on that, which we think will be helpful to everyone. We'll have a presentation scheduled for how the MCL setting process, which some of you are probably very familiar with and some may not be as familiar with it. We'll talk about treatment technologies and other topics. So we look forward to hosting that. We're grateful to the Conservation District that's agreeing to host that. We have capacity for 68 people. There's a fire code somewhere in there. So it's an all-day thing, so we are providing lunch for that. Really appreciate RSVPs so we know exactly what to expect. Be happy to answer any questions on that. This is something that we're putting together because we happen to be in a position where we collect and see all the water quality information for the entire basin. And we think it would be useful to you as individual parties to see the same picture as opposed to seeing your own one at a time. So looking forward to the event. Water rights permit reporting and SB 88 compliance. Edgar, can you say a few words about that, please?
Hello again. So Water Master holds in trust of the parties and with IUA three diversion permits. Two of them are for two of the channel systems in the basin for different months of the year, the permit 19895 and 2753. And the youngest of the permits, the 21225, is for the rest of the channel systems and the rest of the months of the year. We are required by the State Water Board to report on the progress of the diversion permits every year by April 1st. So this year, on March 29, we filed the progress report for these permits. As part of the reporting, there's a section about reporting the accuracy of the devices that we use for measuring these diversions. That's in compliance with the SB 88. We used some support from Wildermuth Environmental for doing that. And for next fiscal year, we are going to be updating our guidelines and the methodology for complying with this law, with SB 88. So Wildermuth will provide some support in reviewing our methodology, our accuracy, and providing some recommendations to better comply with the law. And this is going to be a shared expense with the Inland Empire Utilities Agency. They will also provide an addendum to the operations manual that will include all the technical information regarding the facilities in the basins, the spillways, pipes, gates, and everything. So this will appear in the GRCC budget, so you will see it there. And again, it's going to be a shared expense with the IOA. So if you have any questions, I can answer them.
I'm sorry, I missed that. It's for the accuracy of what?
SB 88 requires every right permit holder to report the accuracy and methodology of the devices used for measuring diversions. So that's what we're doing.
Thank you, Edgar.
All right. Thanks, Edgar. Item number five is letting the pool know that we're moving forward with the purchase of water for replenishment purposes. We are, from the last assessment package approved late last year, there was an overproduction replenishment obligation of about 1,100 acre feet. We plan to purchase water that was injected and will be injected through ASR wells by Monta Vista. And we also plan to purchase surface water from Three Valleys Municipal Water District to meet that obligation. Next is...
Peter, before you get off of that, how do you determine where to purchase the water? Do you send out a notice or, you know, to buy the water?
No, we did not send out a notice in this case. I think it's... For us right now, priority is to replenish the basin with wet water. Wet water in MZ1, deep in MZ1. So ASR injected water is preferred to surface water spreading. So with that as sort of a guiding philosophy, we'll look to see what our options are to do that. And so we looked for the Monta Vista ASR wells offer the benefit of injecting water in the aquifer as opposed to surface spreading. So it's already where we need it for managing any ground level movement. It's also in there without evaporation losses. So it's very attractive to us. And we reached out to Monta Vista and negotiated a price that is better than we would have if we bought it from IUA. So that's a transaction that will come through the pool process next week between Watermaster.
That's fine. I just want, you know, we are recharging wet water right now also, so that's why I was asking.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand. In the future, I envision a time of buying water from stored water accounts. And I envision a process of reaching out to parties and asking everyone what are they willing to sell their stored water for. And in this case, we wanted to get, again, the advantage of ASR wells, which is huge for management of the basin, and then the rest was surface. On the Water Master Engineer contract, wanted to let the pool know that the Wildermuth Environmental contract is expiring at the end of June. And so I plan to bring back in May for the pool's advice and assistance a renewal of the contract for 5 years. And that will go forward to advisory and board for adoption in May.
Just real quick question. Is the current contract for 5 years?
The current contract is a 3-year contract.
Is there a reason we're going 5 and not 3?
It doesn't seem to give us any advantage to go with 3. 5 just eliminates a little bit of work at the 3-year mark and just extends the period. And last on my report is a note that we have nothing new to report on the ongoing investigation at Eli 3. I see a conservation district here. I don't know if there's anything else you will...
We're actively pursuing causes and reasons.
Okay. So we'll leave it at that. And that concludes my report, Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
Thank you for your report, Peter. Any questions for Peter? Additional questions? Hearing none, please notice there's 2 items of information in our packet. And are there any pool member comments at this time? Hearing none, let's take a 5-minute transition recess before we go into closed session. Thank you. Okay, we're back in open session. The pool took no reportable action. Next is future meetings at Watermaster. Peter, any commentary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you see there, we have the meetings listed at the time of the printing of the agenda, so we show the pool meetings. We have for next week, we have your... 8 a.m. strategic planning session on Thursday, followed by advisory. This month, we are having the Recharge Investigations and Projects Committee, affectionately known as RIPCOM, and everyone's invited to attend. We have Joe's budget workshop number 1 on the 23rd, the board that week. And on the 30th, we hadn't calendared it as of last week, but it's on the calendar now, and you'll see it is on April 30. We'll have the back-to-back meeting for the assessment package true-up, the first one, followed by the budget workshop number two, so both of those. And then just off the calendar is the water quality colloquium, which will be Thursday, May 2nd.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.